you have to at least let it get to that part. Man, that's some good old school Stones. I love it. 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Wes Moreno. He is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it's great to be here.
Oh, it is very good to have you. Let's start with this. You had Commissioner Lumen May at the most recent committee, I think it was the Committee of the Whole meeting, raised the prospect with Rodriguez Kimbo of ECAT and said, hey, the under-18s ride for free in the summer. Can we not extend that to be all the time? And immediately got support for that proposal from everybody, myself included. I think it's a brilliant idea. Is that going to happen? And, I mean, what's the cost of something like that?
It is going to happen. I don't know what the actual effect is on the ECAT's budget there, but it's going to be minimal, really. But it is a great program. I thought it was a great idea that Commissioner May brought up to extend that, you know, so our youth can ride for free, because, you know, you start buying bus passes, it can add up pretty quick. And they need to get where they need to get to, whether it be the libraries or whether it be other functions, you know, education related or just in general. So I think it's a great idea that Commissioner May had. I think it'll be a great service to those that are under 18.
I totally support this. I think it makes perfect sense for anybody who's a minor. Follow-up question, though, and I just don't know the answer to this. It's my perception that farebox or buying of bus passes is not really that big a share of the overall budget for ECAT, that a lot of this is grant money and county fund share and all that. So I just wonder, because I don't know the answer, what would it cost to just make the buses free, period, like for everybody?
Andrew, I would have to take a look at that. I know we actually give a lot of free rides,
right?
As we operate now, and you're right, the fare box is not really what supports ECAT. It's grants and the gas tax that support ECAT. So, I'd have to take a look at that. I'm not really sure.
Just because, I mean, you know, look, the people who need to ride the bus are, you know, generally people who are already struggling. And if we're going to spend, I don't know, I'm making up a number, but let's say we already cover it 80% or 90%. You know what I mean? Like the fare box is only 10 or 20% of the cost. I mean, you know, why not just make it free? You know, and then people
right.
don't have to think about what they pay to use it, and we don't have all the challenges of collecting the money, just like kind of on and on. It seems like that would be a big benefit, because when I started thinking about the cost for the kids, I thought, well, why for everybody? You know, I mean, if we're going to have it, let's have it. Anyway, just a thought. I don't know if that's a viable option or worth bringing up when you guys actually put this on the menu, but that was where my thought went. We had a big, and it's been since a couple of times we've talked, but I did want to just follow up on this. The Bellevue Library that we just ribbon cut and grand opened, there's been a lot of talk about the budget and the cost overruns for that. What was the initial cost estimate? What was the bid? And then what was the final price tag in the end?
Okay, so the original cost estimate was a little over $4 million, close to $4.5 million. Our original bid came in at $3.8 million,
okay.
A little over $3.8 million. Our actual cost to construction was $4.5 million. So we were right there at the estimate. And, you know, it's about, all in all, with all our change orders, we're about $700,000 over what the original bid was. And I would say, you know, $307,000 of that was a sewer line and lift station installation that came up. You know, being the type of building it is, being the number of people that will be visiting that facility, you know, they were on septic tank. And unfortunately, that was not really worked out before we went to bid. That was something that kind of came up after the fact. And so we had to do some modification to the plans, and then it was an additional $307,000 to install the needed sewer line and the needed lift station.
Okay, so
that was the bulk of the $700,000.
Yeah, see, that's interesting, because my perception had been that it was, you know, really badly over budget, and that's why I wanted to ask you the question. And it turns out that, look, in the pandemic, you know, and with some of the problems that we had in getting the construction done over the time it took, 10% over for other stuff and 10% over for that, you know, sewer adjustment problem, to me doesn't really seem like that much. So my perception had been that it was way over budget, and it turns out that, at least my perception again, is that it's, somewhat but an understandable amount over. So I appreciate that clarification. White Island, I admit I didn't really know very much about this, and I asked you before we got on the air a little bit, but this is kind of a cool project. For people who don't know, tell them what this is all about.
So there's a little island that sits off Davenport Bayou, there around the Navy Point area, NAS area. And it's been a very popular place for folks to pull up with a boat or a kayak or a paddleboard and just spend the day there on a little stretch. It's just a little stretch of white sand there. But it's eroded pretty much quite a bit over the last several years. And so we've got a project that's actually going to be funded by federal and state National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, Department of Defense, and Restore. And it's a good project. We just accepted $8 million last board meeting. But NAS is very much in support of this project. And so what we're going to do, we're going to restore that. We're going to dredge right there in the area. We're going to restore the island, re-nourish the island. We're going to build a breakwater to the east and then plant some vegetation to help stabilize the area and then also recreate a good recreation area right there. And it's part of a larger project that along the NAS shoreline, eastern and southern shores. And so they're very very supportive of it. And it is a popular place that people have pulled up through the years.
Well, hey, it's being funded by all these very diverse sources that you mentioned. And is it going to be anything at all like what we're seeing over on Bayfront with the kind of the protective measures that they've been doing there that has now kind of come to fruition within about the last year? Is it anything like that?
It is exactly like that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
that is exactly what you will see.
Okay. Well, fantastic. I mean, that's great news. People will love to use the waterfront. We're talking to Wes Moreno, the interim county administrator. It's on my notes, which I should take off. Full-blown county administrator now for several months. Obviously, we have been watching Ian substantially. But before we talk about what the county might or might not be doing in response to that, I did want to ask, y'all recently hired a full-time meteorologist. We talked with Commissioner Bender about this on Friday, but I think her name is Scotland. So the question is, A, what was the kind of the reasoning here? And then B, how did she do? We had our first storm. How accurate was she over and above everybody else?
Well, I will say that every time I've seen one of her updates, it was spot on. She's done a great job. She's a great asset for us. When Travis moved up to be the emergency manager, we advertised to backfill his spot, and she applied, and it was a pretty rigorous interview, and she just did fantastically well. And the fact that she's a meteorologist on top of everything else, I mean, I think that's just a huge benefit for us. It just gives us another tool in our arsenal, if you will.
Okay, so maybe I was confused about, you didn't hire her as meteorologist. You hired her to take the position that you vacated when Travis moved up, and she is also a meteorologist. Is that the way? Is that the better way to say it?
That is the way to say it, absolutely. Oh,
very good. And good to know that she was on target, so that's fantastic. What is the county doing at this point? Are we just in wait-and-see mode for what might be needed downstate?
So we've been requested to send our command center to Tallahassee. So it's leaving out this morning. If it hadn't already left, it'll be leaving shortly. And they've requested that we help out with emergency operations activities there out of Tallahassee to support the rest of the state. So we have a crew going down there with Thor. And they'll be down there maybe 14 days, give or take. We've been hosting a medical strike team there at the Wedgwood Community Center. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're leaving out this morning if they haven't already left. And whatever resources that we get asked to provide, we're going to do our best to do that and be supportive. The destruction and just the massive storm that came on shore there in South Florida. They don't know what all they're looking at just yet because, it gets daylight and then they'll be able to get out and do their assessments, start clearing roads, and they'll know more what they'll need as they see what they're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I think that's a fantastic use of the Wedgwood Community Center. I was talking to Eric Gilmore, our director of public safety, about this the other day, and, he made the comment that look, we're not closed, so everything is in operation. There's not a lot of places that we can put a significant number of people that have facilities. You know, we didn't stage a lot of stuff here at the University Mall, which is typically a place you see a lot, but where are they going to go to the bathroom and wash their hands and eat and, you know, that kind of stuff. But at the community center, we have some of those resources.
Right.
So great use of county resources for that, for the federal-based contract. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for the time. And I know it's very exciting to have a no-meeting day because that lets you get caught up on other stuff. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. We'll see you, Andrew.